You would, let's turn in the scriptures to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 31. Galatians 4, beginning in verse 1. These are God's words. And so let's give our full attention to Him who speaks from on high. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record. And if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Those are God's words. The Lord, through Paul, is continuing to address the false teaching of those wanting to add circumcision to the gospel, to be saved. And there are also, not here, but other places, called Judaizers. and here represents their weakness to them and folly in their being drawn away from the gospel doctrine of justification, thereby depriving themselves and all who follow after them of the freedom from the bondage of the law in Christ. And so here Paul, in the first 7 verses, considering the law, that the gospel is much more excellent than the law, because it is that which brings us to be justified in the righteousness of Christ and adopted as sons and daughters of God. Now here, this is not doing away with the law for the Christian, but showing as it pertains to justification. We are not justified by our own law keeping, but rather the gospel is that the law keeping of Jesus Christ for all who believe upon Him by faith. And so it's not by our own law keeping that we're justified, but by the law keeping of Jesus Christ and received by faith alone. And then through verse 11, the blessed change that has occurred, no longer being under the law and ceremonies and ordinances, not going back to the old covenant administrations like circumcision or the many ceremonial celebrations of days and feasts. And yet, that's what they continue to try to do. And the Lord, through Paul, is rebuking them of that. And then through verse 16, Paul transitions to his affection that he had for the Galatian church, that they would be warned and turn to the Lord. And the zealous effect of the false teachers upon them, to which Paul counters that it is always good to be zealously affected, but to be zealously affected only in that which is good and not false or evil teachings. And then to the end of the chapter, the history of Isaac and Ishmael, which is a good introduction to this evening's sermon on the administration of the covenant of grace, both receiving the old covenant ordinances of circumcision, and yet only one in the covenant of grace, only one, Isaac, finding rest in Christ by faith. Ishmael becoming a covenant breaker, that we'll investigate this evening. And so let us, friends, not seek to be justified by what we do in our works, but to rather rest upon the work and merit of Christ alone, unto His glory alone. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the clarity in which You bring upon us, unto our minds and hopefully our hearts, that it would change our wills and our affections, our desires and emotions. That we would not seek after righteousness of our own, a merit something, or try to merit something before You in order to be saved or in order to be justified and made righteous in Your sight without any condemnation, but rather that we would have as our righteousness and be found in Christ, in His righteousness, His perfect law keeping, but also His perfect keeping of the condemnation of the law for us as He died there on the cross, undergoing the miseries of not only this life, but even that cursed death on the cross for us who are those who believe in faith in Him and repent of our sins. We pray that today everyone here would come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we would all see how great our sin is, being warned of our willfully sinning, our sinning even when we know Your law and we continue doing it, as Paul struggled in Romans 7. Father, that which we don't want to do, we keep on doing, and that which we want to do, we don't do. We fail and we sin against You and breaking Your commandments. Father, forgive us of breaking Your law. And forgive us in Christ, Your Son, whose blood covers a multitude of transgressions and cleanses us of our sins. Father, we do come to You acknowledging that we do struggle. We are often complacent, hard-hearted, cold, or lukewarm. And Father, we pray that You would make us burning hot. You move us in our hearts and in our affections to be zealous for You, for the gospel, to turn our hearts to Christ, Your Son, from our sins, that Your Spirit would be poured out in power upon the church, not only here but throughout the world, and that You would send a great revival of Your people. Where we have turned from You, we pray that You would turn us back unto You. Where we have made You angry, Father, forgive us and turn us back to You. That You would send Your Spirit and power and revive Your church, which is struggling today. In which in many places there is false teaching, false gospels. There is not a desire to worship and glorify Your name, but a desire to entertain oneself. And Father, forgive us of these and send Your Spirit. Father, we give You praise. We prayed last Lord's Day and even the previous days before for the synod that met this past week. We praise You that for the most part we can rejoice in what has occurred. And Father, if there is any error that has occurred, we do pray that You would turn the hearts of all the elders to back to You, and that You would grant repentance, corporate repentance, and that You would see that Your name is exalted and not man's desires. Father, we grieve over what we will hear, but and hear now as we pray, that we grieve over those elders who are deposed from ministry. We grieve over the minister who is excommunicated. And Father, we do pray that You would use the means of discipline to reclaim the sinners and bring them back to humble themselves before You and before the church, Your under-shepherds. And repent and truly seek to right all the wrongs that they have done. And yet we fear, as we'll may hear a little bit in the sermon, that even some of these, at least one of these, is a wolf. Going around and seeking many to devour. And we pray that You would cause him to be brought down. And the words that he speaks would come to nothing. And that Your gospel and Your ministers, the words they preach from Your word, would reach out to the ends of the earth and many sinners would be saved. And that the nations would come unto You. And so we give You praise for the many things that happened at Synod, even though it was difficult and much grieving and sorrowful. And yet great joy as we heard of the church expanding. We're thankful for the new works that are happening in Mexico, as well as in Chile, and even a man who from Brazil desiring to, at some point after being going to seminary, being ordained and taking the gospel back to Brazil. I pray that You would strengthen him and keep him holy, make him holy, and prepared for that work. Pray that You would raise up missionaries for those works in Central and South America. I praise You for those works in Pakistan and in India and East Asia. I won't mention the country, but we could probably guess what country I'm speaking of. Father, we do pray that You would uphold all those churches and the thousands upon thousands of Christians and churches that there are there, even who are part of our denomination. We're thankful for the couple of ministers who were able to make it to the synod and meet with them. Father, we do pray also for the work in South Sudan, that You would cause Your gospel to keep going forward and You would reform those churches that are being worked with. that they would desire to be part of us. And Father, we do praise you also as you are the God who answers our prayers, that you have worked our presbytery meeting for the good, and pray that you will be with those that we prayed for there at the meeting and strengthen them. But Father, we pray that you would also grow our presbytery and provide ministers of the gospel in those places that we often pray for, in San Antonio and Houston and Colorado Springs and in Washington, Iowa. We pray for the new church planting effort in Little Rock, Arkansas, where we have not reached out to Arkansas in our denomination's history. We pray that you would grant fruitfulness. And we know the fields are white for harvest. And so we pray that you would make it fruitful there and be with those who go there from our presbytery. We pray that you would raise up church pastors for these places and more, that the gospel would go forth in power. We pray for Sheila. I know that she had surgery a couple days ago. We pray that you would heal her and grant her relief and from her pain. We pray that you would bring Tim and Andrea back safely as well from Kentucky, and that you would grant to all of us in our bodies strength and good health. And those who have long-term maladies, we pray that you would uphold them and strengthen them and heal them at the right time. Father, above all things, we pray that the nations would come unto Christ, your Son, as you promised that will happen. We pray that every knee will bow and that all nations will covenant with Christ, your Son, even this nation. And so, Father, we pray that your name would be exalted and your name would be known to the many nations throughout the world. And so we pray all these things in the name of our King and our mediatorial King, Jesus Christ. Amen.